Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into wide receiver snap reactions for week two. I'm going to go down alphabetical order here. So Arizona, is Rondale Moore getting his job back? That's the question I had. Greg Dortch, 4 catches, 55 yards, a touchdown on 4 targets. So basically made the most of that. This is a second good game for him, fantasy-wise, filling in for Rondale Moore. So we'll be watching for that. He ran 62 routes in this game. So Marquise Brown ran 81 to lead the wide receivers. A.J. Green ran 74 snaps. Marquise Brown, 81 snaps. The routes was actually 51 for Marquise Brown, 46 for A.J. Green, 42 for Greg Dortch, then all the way down to 10 for Andy Isabella. Marquise Brown leads with 6 catches, 68 yards there. So I'll be interested to see sort of what the – I think Dortch could continue to be fantasy viable in this offense, especially when you're not – like when the other guy outside is not DeAndre Hopkins, but instead A.J. Green, who's a big leak in terms of his converting his routes into targets, where you are a little bit more ball dominant. You're a little bit more target a higher percentage of your routes actually going to targets on any given play for Hopkins than for A.J. Green. So I think that's a couple of things there with Dortch, but I had him in a lineup this week. I don't think you can, we could sort of be on pedigree and we can be on these sorts of things like longer term, but in short sample sizes, like this sets up as a pretty good situation, I think, for him. So yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting spot that we'll watch. And then the return of Rondale Moore as well. He didn't look particularly close this week, so we'll see in future weeks. Atlanta, I think the big story here, Drake London, 11 targets on 28 routes. Terrific start to his season. No clear wide receiver 2, 18 targets through week 2 is a really, really good start. He's wide receiver 16 in points per game. And that time span over 80 yards and per game, above 70 in each of them. So really exciting there for Drake London. And it's pretty crazy. Well, I think this will come back. Like, I don't think this is what has happened to Kyle Pitts' career. But I do think it's pretty crazy how quick Drake London has got into being a very very competitive for a high target share, right? 9 targets per game. You're trending in a really good direction if you're able to do that. And there's not a lot of guys walking around that can do that. So I do think that's a good opportunity there for him in this offense. And he's probably should be near lineups if you have him. Baltimore, the Rashad Bateman show. 7 targets, 4 catches, 108 yards, and a touchdown. He had a 75-yard touchdown. I'm a little bit confounded by this. There's a couple of things going on here. Clint passed along a thread – Or at least I guess it was more of a school of thought that he saw that he sort of had a question about, which was essentially the reason why the argument goes, the reason why Rashad Bateman isn't playing that many snaps is because he's not playing on running plays. And if by the way, if you can hear thunder in the background of this, I'm sorry. We're going through apparently a little bit of a thunderstorm, but I want to record this and get this out for you. So if you hear any thunder, that's what's going on. And I am inside, downstairs in the basement, and okay. So back to the Bateman thing. 71% route participation is not indicative of that, right? This isn't a situation where he's just not playing on running downs. He's just playing on passing downs. That's not really true. So he is. They ran nearly 60 plays. It was 58 plays, 36 snaps he played. They did 31 drop packs. He only ran routes on 22 of those. So if you look at that, that's 71% route participation. Yeah, he wasn't in there on a chunk of plays, but those were close to equal runs to passes. Maybe you could say he leans a little bit not playing in runs, but it is certainly not helping his route participation in his passing game volume. So that's sort of the thought there. However, he's making the most of it when you look at his targets per route run, which is actually 32% of his routes he's targeted on. He ran 22 routes again, drew 7 targets there according to PFF. So good news there. No, nothing really else to report out of this passing game. It's Devin Duvernay. It's DeMarcus Robinson, really, in supporting roles. They're about equally involved in the passing game and have been equal in routes run the past couple of weeks. So for what that's worth, Duvernay returned a long score for a kickoff for a long score. I believe it was the opening kickoff of the game. So, yeah, I mean, that's good for him if you get points for him for special teams. But pretty limited game, two for 42 here after the big game last week. Buffalo is on a Monday nighter, so we'll watch that. Looks like Gabe Davis is out, so just pay attention to that. Carolina, the resurgence of Robbie Anderson, 2 yards per route run through the season, 12 targets through 2 games. Again, not a huge volume, but in a passing game that doesn't have a ton to offer so far in the season, I think it's a pretty good bounce back for him. DJ Moore actually caught a touchdown. However, he only has 86 yards on 10 targets, 1.25 yards per route run. There is no relevant wide receiver 3. I think that Robbie Anderson probably deserves to be in your flex scenario, your flex radar here going forward, if you are in need of, for example, Mike Evans. So just before we started recording, he's suspended for a game. So if you are in on Mike Evans, maybe Robbie Anderson's out there, something like that, he could be a potential fill-in for you. So Chicago, I'll take you behind the curtain here for a second. I wrote 17 bleeping dropbacks was my question on this thing. 41 bleeping plays. Those were my two reactions to this game. Just incredibly low volume. It was 7 completions for Justin Fields. That's just an abomination in 2022. I don't understand how you can be this poor offensively and how you can, frankly, not invest anything in your offense and hope to get something out of it. 37 routes for Darnell Mooney. 37 snaps for Darnell Mooney, excuse me, out of the 41 plays. 16 routes, 2 targets. That's just a pretty crummy number there. Equanimeous St. Brown, 4 targets on 12 routes. But this is a pretty rough offense. And Mooney, who was a guy that, like, I thought had a dark horse chance at winning, like, the receiving yardage title, that's certainly not heading in the right direction. So he'd need a major bounce back, and I'm not super confident in that happening. Tyler Boyd in Cincinnati, he's a big participant, but man, is he being overlooked. He ran 43 routes. There was 44 for Higgins, 45 for Jamar Chase, and he only saw 2 targets. So Boyd saw 2 targets for 17 yards. Then the other two guys both targeted 9 times apiece. Higgins 6 for 71 and a touchdown. Jamar Chase 5 for 54. So I think those two guys probably closer than maybe we gave them credit for in terms of their performance. We sort of thought that in the offseason, if there's a big spread between them, maybe the bet in that offense isn't to take Chase, isn't to take Burrow sort of at the high variance. It's to kind of take Higgins right around his median, right? That's kind of what we thought for. You get some price savings there, so you get a good payoff on that here. So, I think these two guys are going to be the leaders of this offense, and you're going to get Tyler Boyd with some fluctuation games here and there, but just not drawing a ton of targets on his routes so far this season. Cleveland, Amari Cooper balled, 10 targets on 29 routes, so really good number there, on 32 dropbacks, so heavily targeted on his routes and fully participating in the offense. That's great to see. 9 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown, so that's really, really good for him, so excited to see that. Again, more than 3 yards per route run on the day. Excellent performance for him. Donovan Peoples-Jones, only 1 target on 28 routes. He went scoreless after the big game last week. So again, what do we bet? Guys who have done it before, what do we bet against? Like the higher variance, low pedigree guys who haven't really done it before. David Bell's a distant third with only 12 routes. So this is really a 2 running back, 2 tight end, 1.5-ish wide receivers offense, right? David Bell is pretty far off the radar here fantasy-wise. for the season. CeeDee Lamb targeted on 11 of his 33 routes. He's wide receiver 44 on the season. So we'll see how maybe if that can trend back a little bit with some better touchdown scoring. But yeah, a disappointment here on the season. He went 7 for 75, but still without a score and with a really rough game in week one. So really high up there in terms of targets on the season, just pretty low in terms of scoring. That tends to regress back towards the targets, by the way. So have a little bit of optimism there. But again, the people thinking way up at the top of dynasty boards seems a little overvalued at present. Noah Brown, he's basically running all the routes. 5 catches, 91 yards, and a touchdown this week. Again, he catches all 5 of his targets. I don't think he's necessarily the most efficient guy in terms of drawing all the targets, but he's playing a ton, and that really isn't a direct threat to him. So he was one of the guys, like, I'm typically not a big fan of going out and adding in guys at the in waivers at wide receiver, just because, you know, there's just not a ton of value in him. But Brown, like Dortch, a couple other guys, Richie James, like they were in really good situations, role spots where there wasn't a ton of competition, and they were sort of locked into a role. So he was definitely one to pay off for this week. Again, if there's thunder in the background, I'm sorry for that. We are in the midst of we're having it out right now with a thunderstorm. So but again, I want to get this out to you. So if you hear it in the background, forgive me on that front. Denver, my reaction to this is WTF. Judy ran 5 routes before he got hurt. Tyree Cleveland is interesting, but I'm cautious on waivers. Sutton was dominant with 11 targets on 33 routes run. Hamler sat out after playing 40 snaps in week one. And I'm going to read you a quote from Nathaniel Hackett, and I have no idea what the hell this means. And it says, quote, "Part of the maintenance," Coach Nathaniel Hackett said, "of managing Hamler's health. We want to make sure, we want to be sure we can get him to as many games as we possibly can. He's been doing some great things and getting reps at it. He's been doing great things and getting great reps." I have no idea what the hell to draw from that. I haven't heard of like a young wide receiver coming off an injury getting maintenance games off. That seems like it's a lie. It was sort of my assumption when I heard it. I don't know. They need him back, right? We'll see what the injury situation is with Judy. I guess would be the big thing that we're gonna watch for here. But look at this passing game. I mean, without Judy, without Tim Patrick, who coming into the season was supposed to be a big part of this, and then without KJ Hamler, who's sitting out games via maintenance, I guess, it's Kendall Hinton. Now, if you remember Kendall Hinton, he was actually the guy that started the COVID game for them a couple seasons ago, a quarterback. He's out there running 25 routes. Tyree Cleveland's running 15. Montrell Washington running 7, right? What are we doing? What is this offense doing? It's a stark change from where they were coming into the season. So pretty quizzical there. And I'll be interested to see when we get all the full quarterback numbers in the quarterback podcast. Like, pretty interested to look at that for Russell Wilson. However, Courtland Sutton, 7 catches, 122 yards. So really seeing a step forward for him in terms of his production here in 2022. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 34 routes, 12 targets, 9 catches, 116 yards, and 2 touchdowns, plus 2 carries for 68 yards. DJ Shark, 0 receptions. Josh Reynolds, actually 3 for 38 with a touchdown. He's wide receiver. He's basically the third of that trio, is the easiest sort of way to describe it. When you look, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 34 routes. Josh Reynolds, 31 routes. DJ Chark, 31 routes. So Reynolds, 3 targets, 4 targets there for Shark, 12 for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver 3 coming into the season, or wide receiver 3 coming out of week 2. I have some quotes here for you that are pretty fun. From weeks 13 through 18, Amon-Ra St. Brown averaged over 11 targets per game and never dipped below 8 receptions in a week. But DeAndre Swift was out for 4 of those weeks, and Hockenson missed 5 games. Assuming they're all healthy, what is a realistic target total for St. Brown in 2022? So you had people voting here. It was 5 targets per game, which is at 27%. It was 7 targets per game at 63%, 9 targets per game at 8%, and 11 targets per game at 2%. Again, we're slow into the season, but those are sort of the expectations coming into this game. Some other ones here. Amon-Ra St. Brown had a 43.4% target share when DeAndre Swift was inactive. He had an 18% target share when DeAndre Swift was active, of course, insinuating that he was not going to be the guy here for the season. Amon-Ra St. Brown target share splits. Weeks 1 through 12, 14.4%. Weeks 13 through 18, 33%. The difference, Swift and Hockenson both played in weeks 1 through 12. The third option in a poor offense is not worth drafting as wide receiver 2. I will pass. By the way, that poor offense leads the league in points. Hockenson had a similar season to Komet last season with a wide open target share. Swift has never had more than 650 yards rushing. What? I don't know what that means or what that's in reference to, but this is the key one. Darnell Mooney is better than St. Brown right now easily. St. Brown has no wide receivers to compete with for targets, and Jameson Williams isn't healthy yet. So that's from a verified checkmark, by the way, on Twitter. So that's fun. Last one here. I'm likely out on Amon-Ra St. Brown at his current ADP. I still believe a lot of the production was due to Hockenson and Swift getting hurt in the Lions' limited weapons. Lions likely to add weapons to worse core, and even with a step, likely less target share. So even with a step forward for Amon-Ra St. Brown, likely less target share. I think really when you go back and look at this, if you have a wide receiver, again, we're drawing from limited sample size, so we have to be careful. But I think one of the stories for Amon-Ra St. Brown is when you have a guy get an opportunity like he did, and he can absolutely dominate with it, which is what he did last year. Dominate in the sense of big-time targets on his routes run. Those are, like, even in a horrid situation, even in a situation where your guy's dropping back 55 times per game and you have a bunch of jabronis running routes, there are not a lot of guys that can go north of 33%, right? Go that high in terms of where he was last year. I think that was a miss in terms of the analysis. Again, it's a question of like how I think people doubted him. Did I think he was going to be this good? No. But I think that the doubts were unfair. And maybe that's like a conclusion that I could sort of come to, was like, if the doubts are unfair, maybe we should have valued him a little bit higher, made him more of a target player. Again, he was like in kind of a target range for us where we liked a lot of guys. So that's sort of my thought there. Again, and he was well above his base rate too. Yeah, so that's just the interesting part there about Amon-Ra St. Brown. But I mean, he should be trending towards a top 12 wide receiver in Dynasty. Like that's the direction with which he should be going. Green Bay, back to quote wide receiver one usage for Alan Lazard, 26 of 29 routes he ran, 3 targets, so limited use there. Sammy Watkins led the team in receiving with 3 catches, 93 yards, and a touchdown. Cobb was at 37 yards. He's the next best. Watson drops down to 5th in routes run on 7 of 29 dropbacks there. So a little bit of doghouse treatment for his week 1 performance. We'll have to see. Romeo Doubs up to 3rd in snap share, 3rd in routes run, behind Sammy Watkins, behind Alan Lazard there. So Doubs 2 for 27. You know, we'll see what a breakout game might look like. Randall Cobb only ran 12 routes, managed actually 37 routes on it, so that's pretty good. But I don't think he should be necessarily a flex play or anything like that going forward. I'm not sure I trust any wide receiver in this offense at present, outside of maybe Lazard if you're trying to scope out a touchdown, which he did get in this game. Houston. Cooks is a full participant in routes, running 38 of 41 routes. Nico Collins ran 29 of 41 routes, also 9 targets. Get 12 targets on the season, so going in a positive direction. Again, I'm not sure how super dependable that is for fantasy, but interesting nonetheless there in terms of the development of his career. Chris Moore actually played ran more routes than Collins with only 3 targets there. So, we'll watch. I think the only guy that we're really confident putting in lineups will be Brandon Cooks, and we're interested really every week. Indy, an absolute dumpster fire. They ran only 50 plays. They were without Michael Pittman. Paris Campbell targeted once on 30 routes. Ashton Doolin was the big guy with 5 for 79 on 6 official targets for PFF. So good efficiency there. He ran 25 routes. I kind of wonder. I kind of wonder if he can maybe potentially vault up. Paris Campbell, the highest in terms of routes run, with 30, 23 for, I believe his name is pronounced Michael Strawn. It looks like Strachan, but I was listening to Red Zone and they pronounced it. I believe it was Strawn, so we're gonna go with that for now. He ran 23 routes and Doolin 25 routes, but with the 6 targets there and leading them in receptions. So he's a name I think maybe we can look, and if we're sort of in a deeper format, he might be a name that we're potentially interested in there. Man, the Paris Campbell, 0 catches. That has just not been great. This is a golden opportunity for them and just not really not a good performance there. So dubious of his development so far. Jacksonville. Christian Kirk, 6 targets on 6 of the 30 targets. That's 20%. He was targeted on 6 of his 29 routes. So that is good for a 20.6 target per route run number. So so good there. Scores 2 touchdowns as well. Couple of things we were looking at. Both Marvin Jones and Zay Jones, 3 catches, 33 yards for Marvin Jones, 23 yards for Zay Jones. We're still watching sort of that because we think that there could be some red zone stuff to pull from there as we go along with both of those guys with good expectations. Marvin Jones based off last year and Zay Jones based off last week. So we'll be watching those guys going forward. And that's really the story there. Not a ton else after those guys. Marvin Jones and Christian Kirk both playing 64 snaps, running 29 routes. Notably, Zay Jones played 48 snaps but ran 25 routes, so really not in there on running plays. So potential signal maybe in the tendencies department, if you will. Kansas City, it's high variance week to week. I think you sort of see this stuff. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, it might be his week. It might be some for Juju. I think probably wide receiver 3-4 is where you're thinking Juju. Probably more deeper than that in flex range for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, kind of hoping they hit a home run with him. 9 for 89 and 11 targets so far for Juju. So a little bit disappointing here. Hopefully we'll get some more we'll get some more growth here as we go along. But listen, if you add a touchdown into there, ultimately the numbers don't look that bad. The Chargers, I think the big watch here, again, Mike Williams was awesome. I think the big watch is going to be when is Keenan Allen get back. That's the really big thing we're monitoring for this week. The Rams, Cooper Kupp dominant. 11 catches, 108 yards, and 2 touchdowns on 14 targets. Only 5 targets for Allen Robinson. He goes 4 for 53 and a touchdown, so that's good. I had another one that should have been scored. There's this weird, funky rule that has to do with the independent monitoring of injuries from, like, the up above, like, the booth, I guess. And the doctor called in and said one of the, I think it was a defensive back or cornerback or something, appeared to be suffering from an injury. So they called a timeout as the ball was being snapped. And and it just was like ruled, the play was just ruled off. So I hadn't really seen that in action before. So we'll be watching for, we would have been watching for two touchdowns from Allen Robinson, but only one here on five targets. Positive signs, right? Positive signs, I think. He basically ran, you know, him and Kupp right there in terms of 37 routes for Kupp, 36 for Robinson. But I think this is much more of an ancillary piece of this offense than it is a guy who's going to be a bigger part. This is he's a lesser part of this offense than maybe we thought coming in, I think is probably a takeaway that you can have from this season. Ben Skowronek, 32 routes. It was actually Tutu Atwell with only one. So lo and behold, I can't hate on the Rams for trading away their day two picks, because at least they won't waste them on guys like Tutu Atwell. Vegas, disappointing game ultimately, but you get Davante Adams, 40 routes on 41 dropbacks. He had six targets, but only goes 2 for 12. He saved it with a touchdown. I think that's probably like the low water mark of which we'll see for him. I think that he has plenty more to offer, but basically almost in double digits despite only two catches there. So that's a rough performance for him. Mac Hollins, 38 routes. He actually led them in receiving, which is crazy. When you think about it, he had seven targets on 38 routes, 66 yards. So good performance there. Renfrow, 33 routes, nine targets. He goes 7 for 59. I did see a note, and I haven't seen anything sort of followed up on this, but I did see a note where Renfrow might be in the concussion protocol. I haven't seen anything official on that, but I saw a note there just to watch for that at the end of the game. So just keep your eyes open on his injury status here. I believe it might have been like the last play of the game or something like that, where I think it was that last hit where they actually recovered it for a fumble. There might have been a head injury or something that put him in the concussion protocol on that play. Next up, Miami, and quite the duo we have here. Waddle with 19 targets, Hill with 13. Hill outproduces Waddle again, but both are high-level producers at this point. I think two things are perfectly clear. Waddle's terrific and should be a top-10 dynasty asset, and Hill has not been hurt by leaving Kansas City. So I think that those things are both true at this point, and it's a super consolidated wide receiver core. You know, between the two of them, 190, 171 yards. That is good for quick back of the napkin math, 361 yards. The next most yards were 41 from Gesicki. Trent Sherfield had 9. So that's the most for a wide receiver. So big time consolidation there. Cedric Wilson, 20 routes. Again, I don't think anyone's relevant outside of Waddle or Hill. From Sam Farmer from the LA Times, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are the first pair of teammates in NFL history to record at least 10 receptions, 150 yards, and two touchdown receptions in the same game. So historic performance there. Minnesota's playing Monday night, so don't have anything to comment on there. New England, Nelson Aguilar absolutely mossed somebody. That was fun to watch. But ran the second most routes. Two things are pretty clear from this receiving core. Jacoby Myers is the leader, 2.38 yards per route run on the season, and they're trying to figure this thing out. They don't really have a clear answer to what it is. 32 routes for Myers, 27 for Parker, 29 for Aguilar, 21 for Kendrick Bourne after he was not involved last week, 5 for a little Jordan Humphrey, even though he played ahead of Kendrick Bourne. So, in terms of actual snaps, so basically 21 of his snaps were on run plays, 21 of the 24 snaps for Kendrick Bourne were on pass plays. So pretty big split there that I think can probably be picked up on pretty clearly for teams here going forward between those two guys in terms of that rotation. But the only person I really feel confident in probably in this entire receiving ethos is Jacoby Myers. I think if in the event that this Harris injury is a little bit more than we know of, I think Ramondre Stevenson could be a play. But otherwise, I'm staying pretty far away from this offense at present. New Orleans. Chris Olave's ADOT on the season is just a preposterous 22.3. He had over 360 air yards. Yes, 360 air yards on Sunday. That is a week two performance. Just an incredible feat there. He's got 16 targets, 8 catches, 121 yards so far in the season. He has 1.6 yards per route run and hasn't even really like capitalized on it yet. So I think that's the interesting part there with him. Like, I still think there's plenty more to capitalize on, and James Winston's probably a good fit for him. Thomas leading with 17 targets, 122 yards, and 3 touchdowns so far. He's got 1.63 yards per route run, so fairly good start for him. 13 targets so far in the season for Landry, 11 catches, 139 yards, and he's north of 2 yards per route run, the best in this offense so far. So just a crazy performance there for this offense. Just a really good, a much more efficient offensive scheme than it was last year. You just need Jameis to play a little bit better, I think, is really the big deal for this offense. But a lot of opportunity here for these guys. And I think three, like if you told me coming into this season that you'd have through 2 weeks that you'd have three guys in this offense above 1.6 yards per route run, I think you'd feel pretty happy about it. And, you know, after 2 weeks, I certainly am with this offense. And I think there's certainly more to get out of this offense as well. You look at the Giants, it's David Sills is leading them in routes. If you're wondering who that is, you're probably not alone. Wild there. Sterling Shepard, 39 routes. He had 10 targets in this game. 15 routes for Tony's up. Richie James had 26. He's probably waiver wire fodder now again. So they keep kind of cycling through this receiving core. Kenny Galladay ran 2 routes and played 2 snaps. So I won't trust anyone in this until really they do it a couple of weeks in a row. At this point, I don't have a ton of faith in this passing offense. They're sort of winning through other means, which is pretty saying something considering they're 2-0 on the season. I'm of two minds in with the Jets offense. I think that there's a potential buy low coming from Elijah Moore. On one hand, he has a lot of route participation. 45 of 47 routes actually led them this week. That's ahead of 35 routes for Corey Davis and 37 for Garrett Wilson. However, 0.91 yards per route run. So pretty tepid there. Again, I think the opportunity, I think he's a good player. We've seen that. I think his production is going to regress towards his volume is sort of my thought there. So, and the fact that Garrett Wilson still third in snaps, up to second in routes, so that's notable, and first in targets. So that's a positive development for this team. 2.17 yards per route run on the season for Garrett Wilson, 2.05 for Corey Davis, 0.91 for Elijah Moore. I think there's more to get there, but Joe Flacco supporting two guys up in that high level of production, pretty wild start to the season there. Philadelphia, and again, I'm interested in buying Elijah Moore if his price is starting to fall a little bit. Like, if he can get into like the lower 20s, into the 30s, like I'm interested based on where his production was last year. Pittsburgh, George Pickens is a distant third in targets, but is running the same amount of routes as Claypool and Deontay Johnson. Saw someone get a first for Pickens, I'd smash that. Claypool is going to be a variance play. Deontay Johnson, 20 targets through 2 games, 1.49 yards per route run. Compared, just like we should have you need a balance of this because it can be influenced by the fact that some guys aren't that good. But you should do like a yards per route run over his teammates, relative to his teammates. Because Deontay Johnson, 1.49 yards per route run, 0.59 for Claypool, 0.36 for Pickens. So big difference there between those guys. I'm pretty skeptical on anyone outside of Deontay Johnson, Freiermuth, and Najee Harris right now in this offense would sort of be my thoughts. San Francisco, Brandon Ayuk, 23 of 35 routes, 7 targets. Potential boost from Jimmy G. He goes 5 catches, 63 yards on those targets, so good there. Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, the big takeaway. You're going to see some additional stuff. I was actually charting some stuff for the running backs, which I'll pass along here because I think it's relevant to Deebo Samuel. He's basically playing third downs as a running back. So 5 catches, 44 yards, you know, so I wish we could get some more of his sort of deeper passing game volume, would sort of be my hope for him, but has been a bit of a struggle through 2 games. I think we'll see maybe some evolving opinions on him based on the fact that Trey Lance is out and Jimmy Garoppolo is in. So I'd be on the watch for that value-wise here going forward. And again, remember, he was elite as a pass catcher last year. So we haven't seen that quite through 2 games yet. So we'll be watching here going forward. Maybe he can take a step forward. And they've played a couple of tough games, too. Like, if there's a buy low, if there's something outside the top 12 wide receivers that you can get cost-wise for him, I'm interested. Seattle, only 49 snaps. Pretty putrid there. You have 32 routes for Lockett, 29 for Metcalf, 20 for Godwin. Listen, Lockett goes over 100 yards. I guess Metcalf has some sort of back injury. It hasn't held him out of games yet, but you're a little worried they're going forward on that. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty limited. Geno comes back to earth a little bit in this game as well. It's basically had a good half so far of the season. And, yeah, we're going to see some of this. We'll see. Lockett and Metcalf are good. So we'll see them have spike weeks and whatnot. But I think this offense is probably going to be pretty rough overall. All right, Tampa Bay. Evans gets suspended, but he has 2.87 yards per route run so far on the season. His PFF grade, really good as well. Passing game's a mess with no Chris Godwin, no Julio. It looks like Evans is actually going to appeal his suspension there. So we'll hope for some success there after the fight with Marshawn Lattimore, but I don't have a ton of confidence given the fact that he's a repeat offender and it was a cheap shot. So we'll see there. This offense has been pretty rough. I talked about this in the Sunday night show, my initial reaction show. Not great in terms of where they've been, but I think it's been I think there's plenty more opportunity there, some better matchups certainly, and hopefully some better health for this passing game overall. But again, I was pretty skeptical on Godwin coming into the season. Yeah, the fact that Julio appeared to be trending towards playing and then wasn't, it gives me some pause. I thought this was maybe a Russell Gage spot start. It didn't really turn out well either. So we'll be watching for the Evans appeal as well as the other guys returning here. It could be a lot of injury watching here over the next couple of weeks for Tampa Bay. And then last but not least, we have Washington and break up the Commanders. So 18 targets through 2 games for Curtis Samuel. Dotson scoring a lot, has 3 touchdowns on only 9 targets, 7 catches, 99 yards. So that's pretty good. Curtis Samuel is the leader. I think Jahan Dotson is actually led them in routes this week. Terry McLaurin's probably undervalued, given the fact that 47 routes, 7 targets, and hasn't, right? It's been Dotson as a rookie breaking out as a touchdown scorer. I think it's been Samuel as a volume guy, and sort of McLaurin stuck in the middle a little bit. So again, I think I think my longer term bet is that like this thing ends up working out a little bit better for McLaurin than it ultimately has. But I think like if you were to take maybe a takeaway from this passing game, probably the fact that that the supporting cast for Carson Wentz is probably better than it's one of the better ones in the NFL, honestly. And that seems kind of crazy coming into the season, but got 3 guys that can all do something here in the passing game. They can get open and can do some stuff with the ball in their hands as well. So good performance from them. 2nd consecutive week. Wentz goes over 300 yards again. So again, I wouldn't necessarily recommend watching, but he's been productive when he's been out there playing so far this year. So again, it's not pretty, but it has been fantasy successful for guys like Dotson, Samuel, and then hopefully a little bit more for McLaurin. I would be interested in selling Dotson above his cost, right? If he can right, this is subject to some regression in terms of his touchdown performance. So again, if you can get sort of top 20 type of value for him at the receiver position, I'm interested in doing that, especially if you can sort of use him as a potential package piece up the board at a different position. So that'll pretty much do it for this edition of Snap Reactions for the wide receiver position. I will continue recording today, and hopefully the thunderstorm is done, so we'll have that. And continue embracing the variants, and we'll talk again very soon.